Our sixth sermon in the series of the 23rd Psalm is When a Shepherd Gets Cautious. And of course the verse reads, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now David continues this same theme, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so far our want list has been quite good. These are things that sheep want. Number one, we shall not want for rest. And that's, of course, green pastures. And we shall not want for refreshment, and that's still waters. And we shall not want for restoration, that is, He restores our soul when we get in trouble. So what benefit comes next? So far, so good. A lot of good things have been promised that truly all sheep want. Well, next he says, I shall not want for direction. For the second time now, David begins by saying, He leadeth me. First, He leadeth me beside the still waters, and now He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now, we get excited about the green pastures and the still waters and the restored souls, but all of a sudden, we're not sure to get excited about this next thing that the Lord says He does for His sheep. Few of us get excited about thinking about we need leading down a specific path. It sounds too constraining to us. In other words, it limits our freedom to choose our own path. And it sounds a little bit demeaning. It implies that we are not competent enough on our own to choose the right path every time. It also sounds very intolerable. That is, it's going to restrict us to one very narrow path, that being the path of righteousness. Now, up to now, from what David has told us, he has had the sheep jumping for joy because of all the benefits that the shepherd provides. But now, leading us down paths of righteousness, that just doesn't sound so appealing. That just doesn't resonate with us and create that sense of, oh boy, that's good, that's great, thank you, Lord. Now, what's the alternative? The alternative to the shepherd leading us down paths of righteousness would just be allowing the sheep to stray away on their own, go anywhere they want, and pick any path that seemingly attracts them and their interest. Now, surely you couldn't think highly of any shepherd who would just deliberately scatter his sheep everywhere and just leave them to find their own way. If they find a good way, okay. If they find a bad way, that's just tough. Now, we wouldn't think that would be a very good shepherd. Yet, surprisingly, that is exactly how way too many of God's sheep seem to think He operates as a shepherd. It's okay to lead us to still waters, but we don't want Him leading us down any specific path, especially of righteousness. We can rely on our own competence. We can rely on our own self-sufficiency. We can rely on our own abilities. We can rely on our own intelligence to pick the best path for us to take in all situations and at all times. We don't need God's advice. We don't need God's direction. We don't need God's interference. We don't need God's guidance. We're fully able just to take care of ourselves as His sheep. Is that right? Well, that's the way a lot of us think. Let me say this. If any path you choose by your own competence and intelligence and self-sufficiency and abilities, if any path you choose is not a path of righteousness, then you have chosen the wrong path. It's just simple. To put it more bluntly, you have chosen the foolish and the stupid and the dangerous path that anybody with any sense would never take. The only path the shepherd will lead his sheep down is the path of righteousness. And if you don't want to travel this path, what other choices do you have? Well, the devil lays out a path, and it's not the path of righteousness. but rather it's the path that you will find that will lead you astray and away from God. It's the path that will make you forget the shepherd. It's the path that will make you cease to consult the shepherd, only in times when you need still waters and green pastures. The world culture, the world system, they lay out a path for you to walk. It's not the path of righteousness, but rather it's the path of rebellion against the laws of God. It's rebellion against the authority of God. It's rebellion against the rule of God. We don't want God messing with our lives, the world says. Look at our culture today in America. We want him out of government. We want him out of school. We don't want his rules. We don't want his laws. We don't want his commandments posted anywhere. We don't want his name mentioned. Now, that's the world culture, people. And you want to follow a path laid out by the world culture, by the world system? Well, it's not going to be the path of righteousness. Well, then, of course, you have one other option, and that's the path laid out by your old carnal flesh. Now, that's not a path of righteousness, but rather that's the path of self-satisfying, sinful lust in your old flesh. Now, these are the paths you have to choose. Either the path of righteousness laid out by the shepherd, chosen by the shepherd, that walks, or the shepherd walks, or you can follow the path laid out by the devil and the world culture and the carnal flesh. You only have two possibilities. The path of righteousness or the path of unrighteousness. Two choices is all you have. Now, this may be a good place in this message to remind God's sheep of some things that they are prone to forget. And seemingly forget real often and forget quickly. Only, please listen now, only the path of righteousness is a path of promise. I want to repeat that. Only the path of righteousness is a path of promise. It's the only path, and I want to emphasize only, it's the only path where God promises you His blessings. Now we pray, oh God, bless me, bless my wife, bless my husband, bless my kids, bless my family, bless this, bless. Let me tell you, the only path on which God puts His blessings is the path of righteousness. Again, I say only. Only the path that God gives special mercies, and we are all called, oh God, have mercy upon me and heal me and save me and protect me. Oh God, deliver. Let me tell you something, folks. The only path where you get God's special mercies is the path of righteousness. That's the only place you can find them. That's the only place you can get them. The only path where God gives favors to His sheep is the path of righteousness. The only path where God gives grace to help in time of need is the path of righteousness. The only path where God answers your prayers is the path of righteousness. Remember the verse, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Let me tell you this, simply, a righteous man has to be on a righteous path before God will declare him righteous. All right? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How about the prayer of a person on a path of unholiness and unrighteousness? I wouldn't count on his prayers being answered at all. I wouldn't ask that person to pray for me. We're saying, well, would you pray for me? I'd first want to know, are you walking the path of righteousness? If you are, then would you pray for me? Because you see, that's the only praying ground. That's the only path where prayers are heard and prayers are answered. Now, God can hear a prayer if you're traveling the path of unrighteousness. Well, He doesn't even want to answer it. He'll say, what you need to do, first of all, sheep, is get back on the path of righteousness, and then we can do business. Then I can bless you, and then I can give you special mercies, and then I can show you favor, and then I can give you grace to help in time of need, and I can answer your prayer. But you're going to have to be on the path. There's a right place, folks, for you to contact God for whatever you need. And the sheep need to be on the path of righteousness to get all the goodness and the good things from the good shepherd. Now, we like the idea of green pastures. And we sure like the idea of still waters. And we like the idea of restoration in times of trouble. But you know, folks, you only get those things if you're on the path of righteousness. You can't receive the still waters and the green pastures and the restoration on the path of unrighteousness in the den of iniquity. It just can't be done. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not, implying a lot of things you don't get from God you want and need because you just don't ask for them. You don't confess, I need God's help. I need God's supply. I cannot operate without Him. I'm not self-sufficient. I'm not independent. And I must rely on God. And so God says, okay, you have not because you ask not. I want to add another. This is not biblical statement in the Bible, but it's true. I want to add this. You have not because you stay not. You have not because you ask not. But if you're going to ask, you have not because you stay not. You better be on the path of righteousness when you do the asking. That's the only path of promise God gives His sheep. It's just that simple. And if your prayers are not being answered, maybe you ought to ask the question, am I walking the path of righteousness? And if you know deep down in your conscience and your heart you're not on the path of righteousness, you have your answer why your prayers aren't being answered. There are no benefits off the path. I know I'm repeating myself, but we need to remind ourselves as sheep, this is the way it is. You get off the path and you can forget about the benefits. Now, it makes no sense for the good shepherd to keep you on the righteous path if that's not where the best God has to give is found. I mean, the good shepherd is interested in the welfare of his sheep. And if God's best is going to be found on the path of righteousness, doesn't it make sense for the good shepherd to put you on the path of righteousness? Huh? Doesn't it just make common sense that if that's where you find God's best, that's where you ought to find the shepherd leading you? I wonder how many prayers right now are being said by sheep stuck or hung up or in trouble or traveling down the unrighteous path. God, don't let me get caught while I steal this ring. You know, there are people like, God, don't let me get HIV while I commit some kind of sexual sin. God, protect me. You got to be out of your mind. You on the path of righteousness, you really believe that God's going to give you blessings and favors and helping grace and special mercies. He's going to help you commit your sin. He's going to look after you and take care of you while you sin. You really think He's going to leave the path of righteousness and join you on the path of wickedness? Yeah, that's the way a lot of Christians think. They're right in the middle of sin. They're praying, oh, God, don't let me get caught. Don't let somebody's husband come in while I'm with their wife. I mean, folks, this really happens. It's foolishness in the minds of sheep. Good shepherd's not going to transfer the benefits and all the goodness of the path of righteousness to the path of wickedness. He's not going to do it. You're not going to find him walking the path of unrighteousness. It's just not going to happen. And it shouldn't happen. And we shouldn't want it to happen. We should want our shepherd, Jesus Christ, to put us on the best path where we can get the best that God has to give us. It may not be happy sailing all the time and everything go wonderful and no problems, but it's a lot better path than the world's path and the flesh path and the devil's path. It's not free of troubles, but you at least have the helping grace of the shepherd on the path of righteousness when trouble does come and when you do stumble and when you do get cast down. Deliberately get off the path of righteousness and you lose all the benefits that's promised you for traveling and following Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. If you find something wrong with the path that the shepherd chooses, doesn't that imply that you must find something wrong with the shepherd? If you find something distasteful about the path the shepherd chooses, doesn't that really imply that you find something distasteful about the shepherd that's leading you? You can't find fault with one without finding fault with the other, because the path is chosen by the shepherd. Now, either he's a good shepherd or he's a bad shepherd. And if you say the path is bad, then you must imply the shepherd who chooses the path is also bad. If the path to you is stupid, then it must mean that the shepherd who chose the path is stupid. If it is foolish to you, the path he has asked you to follow, then you must assume that the shepherd is foolish. Or you wouldn't say that. Only a foolish shepherd would choose a foolish path. If it's too strict and too narrow to your liking, then it must mean the shepherd is too strict and too narrow for your liking. If it's unwise path to follow, then it must mean the shepherd is unwise. If it is unpleasant path to follow, then it must mean the shepherd is unpleasant. Now, the shepherd chooses the path of righteousness we are to walk based on his wisdom and his perfections and his will and his holiness and his love. Now, if you find fault with all those things, you're finding fault with God. You're pointing a finger at God and says, you're no good in this area and this area and this area and this area. I'm better than you are. I'm smarter than you are. I'm more concerned about me than you are. You're really putting God the shepherd down when you begin to talk like that. You see, God's glory, God's character is involved in the path he chooses. He uses all of his attributes to decide what path you ought to take. Now, you're going to find fault with all his attributes and all of his character? That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to conclude, well, God is a bad shepherd. Don't follow him. He'll only lead to disaster. Only lead to misery. Only lead to loss. Man, yeah, that's what he told Eve. You don't want to follow God. Now, when you deliberately get off the path of righteousness, I said deliberately now, you're declaring that God is not a good shepherd. He's not a wise shepherd. He's not a loving shepherd. He's not a smart shepherd. He doesn't know the better path from the worst path. He's just not worthy of your following. Now, you may go to church on Sunday and say, oh, he's worthy, worthy art thou, oh, worthy, O Lord, praise the Lord. But if you're not walking the path of righteousness into that church and out of that church and down the street and up the week and down the week, I'm telling you, folks, you're just muttering words. You're just going bye, bye, bye on Sunday morning. Note the words of David. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Does he have a motive? Oh, yeah. Does he have a goal? Oh, yeah. Is the path supposed to take you some certain place? Oh, yeah. Is it laid out for a reason? Oh, yeah. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd says, hey, I have a stake in the life of my shepherd and my sheep. I have a purpose in the life of my sheep. I have a plan for the life of my sheep. I have a work for the life of my sheep. And none of that's going to happen unless my sheep stays on the prescribed path that I lay out. Now, a lot of folks who claim to be sheep of God, they're giving God's name really a bad rap. Now, he says, for his name's sake, he puts you on the path of righteousness. But these, I don't know whether they're wolves in sheep clothing or just stray sheep or backslidden sheep. I don't know what you want to call them. But many of them are distorting God's description of himself in the Bible, which I think is very bad, which borders on blasphemy. If I mention a person's name, and you know that person's name, and you know that person, that name immediately calls to mind, in your mind now, their reputation. It calls to mind their abilities. It calls to mind their character. Calls to mind their convictions. Immediately, if you know a person and I mention their name, you begin to say what kind of person this is. They already have a reputation with you. You already know their abilities, their shortcomings if they have some. You know their character traits, good and bad, and you know their convictions, whether they're good and bad. Now, those who travel down the path of unrighteousness and still claim to be God's sheep and that God is with them. This is a popular thing today. God's with you. God is with you. Let me tell you, you think God is with you when you're on the path of unrighteousness? You think God is in the den of iniquity with you when you're in the den of iniquity? But they claim, God's with me. God supports me. God agrees with me. God protects with me. And if they're not walking the path of righteousness, what they're saying is dishonoring God's name. God would never support that, what they're doing. God would never agree with what they're doing. God would never partake of what they're doing. God would never walk the path that they're walking. And yet, you see, now they have transferred God off the path of righteousness onto their path of wickedness and saying, we're walking one in one. God is in agreement with me. Now, folks, that is dishonoring to the Lord. He is the shepherd of the righteous path. All right? He is never going to be the shepherd of the unrighteous path. He's not. You get off the path and you're on your own. He's not going to join you and support you and bless you and speak well of you. He'll never say, well done, thou good and wayward sheep. He's not going to say that. Once you get off the path of righteousness, then don't expect the Lord to give you any recommendation, any applause, any compliments, and I might add, any blessings. There is, I think, presently a blurring of the signs found on the pathways that you can choose. Jesus once said there were only two roads. There was the narrow road that led to destruction, and there was the broad road that led to life everlasting, implying led to heaven. He made that quite clear. Two roads going different directions. One broad because many, many travel it. One narrow because very few travel it. But somehow things have changed during the years. What was once the narrow road, I find now today is being labeled the abandoned road, the condemned road, the obsolete road, not fit for travel. It's broken down. The bridges are out. It's grown over with weeds and thistles. And it's unreliable. And a man is an idiot to travel the narrow road. But even with the old today, he's mean-spirited if he travels the narrow road. It's no longer really a road recommended by the world. Well, of course not. And then some who call themselves sheep, seemingly, feel bold enough to go over and take the narrow road sign down. Then take it over to the broad road and plant it right beside the broad road sign. So now what you have kind of going on in the Christian culture is the broad road sign and the narrow road sign are standing side by side. And they're telling everybody, well, they're both going the same direction. All roads lead to God. And so the narrow road now is the broad road, and the broad road is now the narrow road. There's no difference. And so the sheep, and want to get on the narrow road, you can do so, because now the narrow road is the broad road. And everybody is told, well, instead of leading to destruction, the broad and renamed narrow road is going to eventually take you to the same place, same God. You hear it said now more than ever before, all roads lead to God. It's the same God. And it's not uncommon to hear religious leaders get up and say, if you're mean-spirited, if you insist that there's only one God, there's only one faith, there's only one Savior, there's only one way to heaven, that's mean-spirited. There's room on the broad, narrow road, the narrow, broad road. There's room now for all faiths and all gods and all beliefs and all conduct and all people. We're all just one big, happy sheepfold heading down the road to God in our own way, choosing our own path. And the other little old narrow road, why, it's just obsolete. The name of Jesus and the name of Jehovah, we shouldn't give them special allegiance and recognition and praise over another, because that upsets the other gods and the other religious people and the other people of faith. We can't be mean-spirited. We can't be prejudiced. We have to be inclusive and include everybody. Well, that's, you see, the sentiment of the narrow road and the broad road combination now. Let me tell you something. Good Shepherd's still traveling the narrow road. It hasn't been vacated. It hasn't been scrapped. That's the road he's still on. God has a good shepherd name, reputation to uphold, promises to keep his sheep, work to perform with his sheep, and goals to reach with his sheep. And he can't do any of this if we get off the path of righteousness. That is the narrow road. The old one, the real one, the biblical one. Only place where his will gets done and his sheep's needs can be met. Until next Sunday, may God bless.